Hey, I want to encourage you, let's get the Word of God open this morning. We're going to look into the book of, we'll start in the book of Acts because it's Pentecost Sunday. That's a good thing to do. Oh, I've been waiting for this. I was thinking, why should we just preach on this more often? But here we go, Pentecost Sunday. So on your calendar at home, you would have you would see that it would, you know, there's all these kind of holiday dates, and Pentecost is always right on there as well. And all that simply means is that when Easter happens, that it's just 50 days after that, 50 days after Easter. And so since, you know, you call this church your home, we kind of collectively come together as a Pentecostal movement. We're part of the PAOC, the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. That's where we kind of put land. We think about over the last 100 years or so, the Pentecostal movement has just spread across the globe. And so we're part of something international. There's this foundation that basically we want to teach the entirety, the full gospel, every aspect of the gospel. That's really the Pentecostal movement. That's the what they landed on. They said, hey, there's some good teaching, there's some good denominations out there, but we want to ensure that the Holy Spirit is still being taught today, and it's still for the New Testament believer. It wasn't just for a season. And so that's the Pentecostal movement. So we really got to hone in on that. And so the book of Acts is obviously after, you know, the Gospels, we see, you know, Jesus showing up. And then as the Holy Spirit moves in, the rest of the Gospels in the New Testament are all about what happened with the Holy Spirit, how the church started. And then we get the blessing of the very last book there, Revelation, what will happen in the very end. So from Acts to basically Revelation, we see God just at move as the Holy Spirit is just moving and starting and planting the church. And there's this piece of scripture right here I want to land on. We look at the Gospels again. Jesus was born. Jesus was crucified. Jesus rose again. And then we jump into the story here in Acts just before he ascends, just before he goes into heaven. And we basically, you know, Jesus, you know, no more Jesus past those couple scriptures because we're going to pick up Holy Spirit and where God is moving with Paul and Peter and these kind of guys. So that's where the story lands. And it is so rich. It's going to be exciting. Looking forward to sharing it with you. Verse 4, Acts chapter 1. On one occasion, while they were eating with them, Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command. Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. At this point, they're to wait. We don't need to wait any longer. You know, there was this one moment where Jesus was about to go up into heaven. Holy Spirit comes. They had to wait for that moment. You and I don't wait. The order's not important. You know, get saved, order, get salvation. That's important to do. And then make sure Holy Spirit's around. Water baptism is around. It's the next steps. The order is not important. Me, get saved. That night, Holy Spirit shows up in my life. I can't swear. I can't do drugs. I can't drink anymore. My whole life transformed. Holy Spirit. For some people, it's salvation. It's like they're trying to figure it out. You get water baptized, and then Holy Spirit comes. I can show you scripture after scripture of either order. It's not important the order. What's important is stop waiting. Receive the Holy Spirit. Get water baptized. Walk in Jesus. Follow scripture. So good. Verse 5. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Look at how Jesus, I love this part of it. You've got two verses of Jesus going, listen what's happening, guys. And then watch the ignorance of disciples, me. I won't put you in there. I'll put the disciples and me in the bus for a second. Verse 6 and 7, just listen to what the disciples, after Jesus is saying, do this thing over here, and the disciples, as always, we, like always, thinking about something else. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, after he just said something, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, this is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. He's teaching something, and they're like, squirrel! You know, it's completely off the mark, right? He's saying, if you wait, you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Are you going to set up a kingdom where I get to rule and reign and where I get to, you know, be at your right hand and you're in, you know, in an earthly kingdom? And Jesus, oh, I kind of imagine like Jesus is like, This is the last thing I'm trying to teach you. I'm about to ascend into heaven. And you're worried about the kingdom here on earth. What are you doing? Verse 8, it goes on. Jesus, in his gentle Jesus, loving. He says, he didn't say anything. He's just going to, let him go. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. In verse 10, they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken up into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So just paves the way. Isn't that just brilliant, that last thought there? Jesus goes up into heaven, the book of Acts, and he'll come back in Revelation in the same way, come back down. And in between there in the New Testament is where you and I live. And we have to wait patiently. We don't wait for the Holy Spirit. Again, receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's just break down just a couple verses. Oh, my word. There's so much here. I hate trimming this gospel out. This is so good, but you can't share it all because we only have a certain amount of time together. Verse 6, I want to spend a little bit of time there. When they met together, they asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And I've already mentioned this idea. The disciples are asking Jesus, who just rose from the grave, are you going to set up now an earthly kingdom? They asked him the same question. Do you remember when Jesus was about to go to the cross? They said, hey, are we going to set up a kingdom? And Jesus is like, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to get crucified. And I'm going to rise, be raised in 3 days later. And they're like, okay, yeah, never mind that. But are you going to set up an earthly kingdom? Right? And Jesus is like, so then he dies. And then I think at that point, Jesus was like, I hope they understand now. There's no earthly kingdom. I'm now dead. It's not going to pan out. But then he raises from the dead. And now the disciples are like, oh, sweet. Look at that. He came back alive. Now he's going to set up his earthly kingdom, right? And Jesus is like, no kingdom. I'm out. I'm going to see you later. And it's just, we do that sometimes because I think that we want something. We want an earthly something. What is that? What's before Jesus for you? Could look very different for every person. We put something before our God. And we say, God, if you would do this, God, if you would do that, would you fix this or redeem that here on earth? And God is saying, I have an eternal plan. My plan is perfect. I'm the master planner. Would you trust me with it? That's a tough pill to swallow when you're going through it. When it's hitting you in the face, you're like, this is out of control. Jesus taught them about this idea. He never taught them about an earthly kingdom. He always talked about an eternal kingdom. You and I, in our simple minds, we get distracted sometimes and we focus on the earthly things and we forget about the eternal things. And if we would have our eyes on eternal things, earthly things figure themselves out. If we have our eyes on earthly things, we lose perspective of eternal things. It's so important to understand that. Jesus has given the disciples this instructions before his death, since his resurrection. His teachings and his knowledge are enough for a lifetime. If we spent every single minute of every single day and you never spent any sleep, it would never be dry. You would never be finished learning this book. Isn't that a wonderful thought? So forever, I know enough. Yeah, I've got it together. I kind of figured it out. I'm sorry. I apologize, we got to come back to reality is that Jesus gives us enough information. We don't have to worry about trying to orchestrate our own little chess moves. I'm going to move this guy here and move my horse over there. God's like, let me move the pieces. Let me make the adjustments. Jesus is enough for us, the Holy Spirit's enough for us to give us enough strength to live with all of our earthly trials. This is like an important theological understanding you've got to grasp hold of. That every trial that we face, because we see in the Word of God, he never says, oh, now that you're a Christian, life will just be hunky-dory, right? You know, what's that? Those movies like Wonderful Life and all these kind of things, right? Everything's just perfect, right? Nothing ever goes wrong. But that's not what he teaches. That's false doctrine. That's false teaching. We have to face trials and pains and struggles, but in it, you'll be a witness to the world. You'll be a witness to the earthly things because you've got eternal understanding. You've got an eternal perspective. You've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. So when you face a challenge, the world will go, that's different. Not most people respond that way to a trial or a pain or anxiety or worry. Something's got to be different about you. And you're a witness to everybody else that you interact with, whether it's your family, whether it's a coworker, whether it's your children or whatever it is, because the Holy Spirit's living inside of you and you act differently than the world. Do you understand that? That is such a deep truth that the trials that we face will help us be a witness to the world of how we respond to them. Because Jesus never promised to overthrow governing authorities. He never promised that everyone would be healed. He never promised that everything would be perfect. He said, you know what I have? I've got the Holy Spirit for you. And if you receive that, you're going to be okay. And then we go, oh yeah, thanks for the Holy Spirit, Lord. But God, there's all these problems. There's all these worries. And God's like we always, God does. Yeah, I hear you, but Holy Spirit. And we cry. Oh, and then God, Holy Spirit. He's there to counsel you. He's here to help you while you're here on earth. That's why he came. It's so clear in Scripture. Through our trials, again, we'll be witnesses. That was only one verse. We're just getting warmed up now. I want to look at just what, like two verses. I'm telling you, it's just so loaded in there. And so after I wrote this last night, I was scratching my head and I was thinking, I took this wonderful course on the Holy Spirit in Summit Pacific College. And there's this wonderful guy here. I've got a picture. This is my version, obviously, as you know, I'm old, and so there's the New Revised Version over there. But at Summit Pacific College in Abbotsford is our Pentecostal Bible College. It's a brilliant college. Roger Strongstead, who wrote this book, he wrote the whole course on Holy Spirit. It's just brilliant. It says, a significant theological contribution to Holy Spirit, written right, and nice and small too, so you can buy one, order one. Roger Strunta, he signed mine. You know, it was awesome. I did pass the course, I promise to you. But it's here because there's such a significance, and so often we would say to somebody, we say, hey, read John. You know, if you're starting off in your Christian walk, read John's just a nice book to read, lots about Jesus. But did you actually know that Luke, it's a continuation into Acts. It's like one book. Luke, Acts is one continuous story if you were to read it. It's a brilliant gospel presentation. If I was stuck with only like a book or two out of the Bible, you know, I might choose something like this because it's just wonderful. It talks about Jesus, talks about the Holy Spirit, and it talks about planting the church. And if you've got those kind of foundations, we're on a good trajectory. So, anyways, there's a book there for you. I don't often, as you know, over all these years, promote or suggest readings to you or quote things, but that really was a breath of fresh air. So let's look at just one more verse and unpack it a little bit. So this is verse 10. It says, they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. As the disciples fixed their eyes upon heaven as Jesus was ascending, you think about that for a second. You're thinking, okay, Jesus, it's going up. You know, we're watching this. It's good. But, you know, when he rose from the grave, when he rose from the tomb, we didn't see that, did we? There's a reason why. Because we'll be looking down. Look at all that sin that Jesus took in the grave. We see him coming back to life. That'd be brilliant. But we didn't see that. Because God wants us to keep our eyes up. Because things that happen in our lives are usually like, when you feel this is just a natural bodily emotion, don't we? When you feel something, you're kind of like, you kind of walk a little slow, head down. You know, your body tells me how you're doing. You see people, don't you, downtown, you're like, oh, how you doing? Whoa, you know, that guy's not doing so good. His head down, some emotion, you know. You take a wide berth around that guy. Because you wear your emotions on your shoulder. And Jesus, again, doesn't want us to focus on those things because we're all facing them. We all have something. But Jesus is saying, But look up. I have this. I've got this. I can handle this. You're going to be okay. I wonder what our gaze is fixed upon. Because again, we can come Sunday and go, you know, we lift up our hands. Oh, Jesus. Poof, brilliant Jesus. Monday comes. Whoa. Where's my Jesus? You know, where all my trials, all these things I'm facing. In church, you can just almost sense the love of God. Yeah. It brings you to tears sometimes. But then you have to leave this place. And sometimes it feels like there's a different feeling or a different emotion waiting at the door that we're about to leave or pick up again. Again, get your eyes upon Jesus. In verse 10, it goes, as they were looking intently. I think they were looking, obviously, in amazement. You know, you can't put this in a movie or Hollywood. You're like, whoa, like a guy just starts floating. Woo! And these clouds start, you know, hiding him, and oh wow, hey, look, you see that? It was kind of good, eh? So there's this moment. I mean, I don't think there was popcorn around, but they were just watching this, and you know, this was just a really sweet thing. It seems that the disciples were looking again intently up into the sky, expecting, I think, Jesus to come back down. Because often he spoke about too. He said, you know, I'm gonna go to the grave 3 days, I'm gonna, you know, build the temple, I'm gonna come back, and then, you know, I'm gonna come back soon. And I wonder if they're thinking, wow, he went to the grave, he came back real quick. He's going up in the sky. Maybe he'll come back real quick. Hey, let's just wait here for a while. Let's see what happens. And so they're just waiting. They're expecting, I think, Jesus to come back. Oh, please don't leave me, Jesus. Don't leave me. Don't ever forget about your Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Because often in pain and suffering and trials, we think, where's God? He didn't go anywhere. He's right there. Look up. He's right there. He's going to be there. He wants to be there with you. Again, totally thinking that Jesus was going to come back right away. Let me just go back to just one verse. So we're still recapping verse 10 for a little bit here. But in verse 5, it says, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. As the disciples again stood there, staring and waiting for Jesus, they were waiting for him to really to come a second time. It should really quicken us to action. When we think about that, we think, okay, Jesus up there, good, we're here. As we get our eyes on Jesus, we realize like, well, that's a good thing. I should do something about it. And there's really two options, right? You're like, okay, I got to deal with my stuff that I've been facing because of my trials and hardships are getting my eyes off Jesus. Or we'd be like, if you saw that, wouldn't you be like, come and look. Did you just see what happened? This weekend, I don't know what you did this weekend, but come Monday, you either have to go to school or work or you've got to do something. You know, it's unfortunate. I apologize. But anyways, you can't have every Sunday. So, you know, that'd be nice one day. Oh, Lord, give us Sundays only. Anyways, you're going to go talk to some people at work and you're either going to hear a story or you'll tell a story. You'll be like, oh, this fish, man. You know, whatever it was, or, you know, we did this thing, we went out to the, and this food we ate, oh, you know, whatever happens to be your story, you want to tell people. You might even be thinking about right now, I can't wait till tomorrow, because I want to tell them what had happened. This is the same for the disciples. When they left that mount, they left that experience of Jesus ascending, they went, let's go tell some people, because that was awesome. It was so moving, and do we feel the same way, or do we have our eyes down and go, my life's a mess? People, everybody's life is a mess in some capacity. It's okay to share our burdens and our struggles, but also share there's an excitement about something amazing that's happened in your life, that Jesus moved in and set up camp, and he lives inside of you. And I have victory over that stuff in Jesus' name. And you want to share it with people. That's why God says you'll be my witnesses about the good news because of the way that you live and how you respond. We're not even done. Verse 10. When suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. And I could see them just kind of sitting like, just waiting for Jesus. And God's probably looking, okay, we got to get them moving. We're going to stand there forever. You know, let's get them moving. Let's send a couple angels down there. Think about some of the times when the angel showed up here. So let's just go back in the book of John. I mean, just like one page over. John chapter 20, verse 10. Then the disciples went back to their homes. This is Jesus. He was crucified. They're at the tomb. Verse 11 says, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. You know, her Lord Jesus was now dead. So she wept. She bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels seated there where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. We see angels show up all throughout the Bible, but just a couple things here. At Jesus' birth, don't we? See, there's like a heavenly choir. Whew, that's powerful. We see two angels show up at the tomb. We see two angels show up at his ascension. There's something important here that we got to take notice of. And there's also a part which I just added, and so it's not going to be on the screen, but you can go there if you want. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. And you know, you think about John 16, right? You know, it's all of our things. Matthew 16 is just as good. So Matthew 16, verses 16 and 17. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And so again, we see angels at his birth. We see angels at the tomb. We see angels at his ascension. And we really see the full triune Godhead right here. If there's any denomination that goes, "I don't know about the Holy Spirit, I'm not sure," you cannot dispute that verse. Because Jesus is on the earth, he's in the water. God is in heaven speaking to Jesus, his son. And the Holy Spirit is descending like a dove. There's three different elements right there in the same verse. It can't be like God's in heaven. Hey, if I speak really quickly and then I go down to the earth, I'm Jesus in the body, and then I'll fly like a dove at the same time. It just doesn't happen. You can't make that. And just theologically, it doesn't make any sense. But we can see here angels and the Spirit of God all around this idea of the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling with people. And God had really blessed the disciples or the apostles, and he said, "You guys are wonderful. You're going to do great things in my name." And then he says these things about them, like, "Don't wait here, though. Don't wait for me. Actually, go now." You know, these angels are saying, "You got to get going now." It was all packed into that just one verse, and we didn't even touch on every aspect of it. Isn't the Word of God just so rich? You can read a verse for the rest. I mean, we could preach this for a whole year. This is just great stuff. Let me just land on and kind of finish with this last piece. We'll look at verse 11, and we'll wrap it all up. It says here, "Men of Galilee." So these two angels come down, and they speak to these disciples, and they say, "Men of Galilee." There's an important reason why it says that. It doesn't say disciples or apostles at that point. The angels are saying something to them. And it's not to deflate them or speak negatively of them. But what they are saying very clearly is that, yes, you're a disciple. Yes, you're an apostle. Yes, you've been with Jesus. Yes, 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 you have salvation. But don't ever forget who you are and where God took you from. You men of Galilee would be like saying, in a sense of like, you were illiterate and despised and uneducated, and the people of the world would look down upon you, as Omni read earlier in the book of Acts. As the people spoke in different languages, the audience was like, "Are these people drunk? Like, what's going on here? These people are just, I hate to say, dumb fishermen." And that, of the day, it was like that. But it's not here. And so Jesus is saying, without me, we're illiterate. We're despised. But with him, with the Holy Spirit of truth living inside of us, we are whole. We are made perfect. We have the truth living inside of us. Let's just finish up with John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, you'll obey what I command. And if I will ask the Father, he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor hears him or knows about him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." And this is what God's and Jesus have been talking, preaching to the disciples all day long, and they just weren't getting it. And it's similar to, and I often use the analogy of gravity. You know, you don't see, what can I drop? I'm going to drop my book here. Like, you don't see gravity, but I think a better word or terminology I just thought of was like wind. Like the wind blows, we would read in the Word of God. And the wind actually in the Old Testament refers to the Holy Spirit as he just moved throughout the world. You can't control it. I mean, I wish you could when you're out fishing. I want to like glass, man. I don't know, the wind is just messing me all up, hitting these white caps. But You can't see it, but it just moves. And so we know that. And when I read to us about the Word of God and about the Holy Spirit, we don't have to defend the Word of God, do we? And I don't have to defend the Holy Spirit or try and sell you on the Holy Spirit in a sense because of this reason right here. Watch what happens. Who here, I need a show of hands, high and proud, who here has felt the Holy Spirit at some point in your life in some capacity? So yeah, the majority of the people, because you know it's real. And so when we read the God, it just supports that. You know, that's what it says. Well, show it to me. Well, you've experienced it. So I don't have to prove it to you. Isn't that just wonderful about the Holy Spirit? So this weekend coming up, if you haven't ever attended the Alpha course, I really want to encourage you to do that at some point. It just has a video series. We sit around the table. We have a nice meal together. And it talks about, like, how to read the Bible. How does God speak to us? Talks about the Holy Spirit, how to pray. Just some really simple, basic Christian principles. So this weekend, we're going to have a weekend together where we talk about the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be praying for people that people would receive the Holy Spirit. But we actually don't need a special course. We don't need to sit around a meal. We don't have to have a time. You can ask Holy Spirit to come anytime, and he'll come upon you. I know this for real because I've experienced it firsthand. I'm alone in my house. New Year's 2000, all by myself, living a different lifestyle. And I said, God, I'm done with this lifestyle. I don't know what to do. And the Holy Spirit came upon me, and I was set free in Jesus' name. Like that, cold turkey. So I believe this morning, I don't need to wait till this coming weekend to pray for us and you receive Holy Spirit. I want to pray for you right now this morning, that we would receive the Holy Spirit. And so I want to encourage you, however you receive, you know, often you see me, I put my hands up, I just want to receive the Word of God. I want to hear from heaven. Sometimes we raise our hands, you know, I want to see God speak to me. Some of us just want to kind of, you know, open up our minds and our thoughts to receive Holy Spirit. And so I want to pray for you this morning, whatever position you want to take, you know, the altars are always open. Please don't hesitate or feel like you'd be condemned or it'd be wrong or something. You want to get on your knees, you just come to the altar. The altars are always open and just feel free to just do that. So whatever that looks like for you, for those that are online, I just encourage you, put the device down, put whatever's distracting you down and just close your eyes so you can just focus on the Lord. And so I just want to pray for us. God, you say in your word often that you are the counselor and the helper. And when people go through trials and difficulties, they say, I need help. I need to go see a counselor. I need somebody to help me with my problems. And so, God, we're here this morning. We have problems. We have difficulties and situations that are out of our control. And so, God, we're looking for a helper. We're looking for a counselor to help us. And so thank you, thank you, thank you that you have not abandoned us and left us alone here on this earth just to figure it out and hopefully we'll make it to be with you in eternity. You have given us someone, and we want to receive that someone this morning. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person here, every person listening, that they would receive the Holy Spirit right now. I pray that their minds and their thoughts would be like, yes, I want to receive this morning. I'm not waiting for a meal for lunch. I want to receive a spiritual meal right now with you. And so thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here. Thank you that you're ministering to people. Father, again, we don't need to invite you in. You're already here, but we invite you into our hearts. We invite you into our lives, where it says so clearly in Scripture, that we know him, for he lives in us, and he will be with us. He'll be inside of us. So, Holy Spirit, would you come inside of us? Would you dwell inside of us? We want to be a church that's on fire for you, and we can't do that. We can't strategize. We can't plan any of that stuff without your wisdom, without your guidance, without your truth. And so thank you that you are the Spirit of truth, that only truth would ever be presented here. Thank you that you have full dominion and full authority, and we give you every aspect of it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.